Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our sermon text is our epistle lesson. Well, I had a whole sermon set up in my mind, and I decided I need to take at least a couple of minutes to address something that is on everyone's mind. And what I want to speak about that is simply this. Trust God. Your days are in His hands. He has numbered those days. He is your creator, your redeemer, and your sanctifier. Trust Him. Hope in everlasting life. Trust your baptism. We do not want to test Him by reckless living or frivolous living, so we take a few precautions. We adjust the way we do offerings. We don't shake hands. And you'll notice both Pastor Bischoff and I, even though we wash our hands before every single service and after every single service, we'll wash our hands once again right before distribution. Martin Luther had something to say during pestilence of his own time. In a prayer where he prays to God and then in the same prayer rebukes the devil, he says this. Listen to these words. Christ has shed his blood for me and gave himself into death for my sake. Why should I not also subject myself to a little danger for his sake? What need to regard a powerless pestilence? Where you can terrify, my Christ can strengthen. Where you can kill, my Christ can give life. Where you have poison on your lips, Christ has far more medicine. Should my dear Christ and his prayer and his benefits and all his consolations not avail more in my spirit than you, despicable devil, with your false terror in my feeble flesh? God forbid it. Be gone, devil, get behind me. Here is Christ, and I his servant in this work. He will take care of it. Amen. We see in our gospel lesson that Jesus has power over everything. He has the power to expel demons, and he has the power over everything that goes on in this world. Trust him. Believe in him. Communion will go on as it always does. There have been a number of studies done in the last half century just about how that all entails, including by the CDC. And they have found that even people who commune every single day are not at greater risk for infections than people who don't even go to church. That includes the cup of the Lord. The cup. Not only do all of these cups contain wine, which has alcohol, the cup is also made of precious metals. It is antibacterial. And not only these things, it is the blood of Christ. It is the medicine for our souls. I picked the hymns before I decided to talk about any of this, but I think some of the words from our hymns today are very helpful. From our sermon hymn, Lord, be our light when worldly darkness veils us. Lord, be our shield when earthly armor fails us. And in the day when hell itself assails us, grant us your peace, Lord. And there's another hymn I wanted to share with you today. What God ordains is always good. Lutheran Service Book 760. We sing these words. What God ordains is always good. His loving thought attends me. No poison can be in the cup that my physician sends me. My God is true, each morning new, I trust his grace unending, my life to him commending. And he goes on, what God ordains is always good. This truth remains unshaken. Though sorrow, need, or death be mine, I shall not be forsaken. I fear no harm. For with his arm he shall embrace and shield me, so to my God I yield me. Matthew 6 says, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Trust God. He has you. He is your God. He loves you. and wash your hands. Look out for your neighbor in need. Look out for the elderly neighbor, those who might be prone to disease. Call on them. Ask them if there's anything you can do to help them. Act civil. Share if you have an abundance with those who have need. Trust God. All right, now I'm going to preach what I wanted to preach to begin with. Our epistle lesson speaks to us as how we are called as Christians to live. We are to be imitators of God as beloved children. St. Paul writes, "Let no one deceive you with empty words, for at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true." As Christians, we are called to live not as the world lives, but as God has given us to live. The world is dark. In Christ is the light. Now, I recently preached on the Ten Commandments and how that applies to our lives, so I won't rehash that again today. However, I want to look at another part of the Small Catechism, one that we don't spend nearly enough time on, and that is what is called the Table of Duties. These are scripture passages taken by Martin Luther and put into our different vocations in our lives. Certain passages of scripture for various holy orders and positions admonishing them about their duties and responsibilities. Because God has told us how he has called us to live, no matter what your station in this life is. We're different. We hold different vocations. Some of you are mothers, some are fathers. Some have work, some have jobs in the home. But we all have been given by God the same thing to do, to work together. Brothers and sisters in Christ, looking for the same goal, that is heaven, won for us by Jesus Christ and his death on the cross. And so he begins by collecting verses on what pastors and bishops, that is an overseeing pastor, what we're supposed to do. 1 Timothy, we read, "The overseer must be above reproach, the husband of but one wife, temperate, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not given to drunkenness, not violent, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. He must manage his own family well and see that his children obey him with proper respect. He must not be a recent convert, or he may become conceited and fall away under the same judgment as the devil." To Titus, St. Paul writes, "He must hold firmly to the trustworthy message as it has been taught, so that he can encourage others by sound doctrine and refute those who oppose it." In other words, pastors are to study God's word, to share that word with his people and the people in the community who so desperately need the message of the gospel. The world is fallen. The world is in chaos. But we have a continuous message that stays the same. There is comfort in Jesus Christ. He goes on to put verses of what hearers owe their pastors. 1 Corinthians, "The Lord has commanded that those who preach the gospel should receive their living from the gospel." Galatians 6, "Anyone who receives instruction in the word must share all good things with his instructor. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows." 1 Timothy, "The elders who direct the affair of the church," elder here does not mean our man-made office of elder, but pastor, "well, are worthy of double honor, especially those whose work is preaching and teaching. For the scripture says, 'Do not muzzle the ox while it is treading out the grain,' and the worker deserves his wages." To 1 Thessalonians, we read, "We ask you, brothers, to respect those who work hard among you, who are over you in the Lord and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard and love because of their work. Live in peace with each other." Hebrews, Obey your leaders and submit to their authority. They keep watch over you as men who must give an account. Obey them so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no advantage to you. God does go on to give our government rules, regulations, things like that. How are we to govern? Romans 13 reads, "Everyone must submit himself to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Consequently, he who rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted. And those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers hold no terror for those who do right, but for those who do wrong. Do you want to be free from fear of the one in authority? Then do what is right, and he will commend you. For he is God's servant to do you good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword for nothing. He is God's servant, an agent of wrath to bring punishment on the wrongdoer. In other words, if you do what is right, you should not have to fear the government for punishing. But if you do what is wrong, you should be afraid of the punishment, but servant. Of citizens, this is what God has called all of us to do in relationship to our government. Give to Caesar that which is Caesar's, and to God that which is God's. Jesus says this in Matthew 22. And in Romans 13, it is necessary to submit to the authorities, not only because of possible punishment, but also because of conscience. This is also why you pay taxes, for the authorities are God's servants, who give their full time of governing. Give everyone what you owe him. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. If honor, then honor. I'm sorry. I can't do anything about it. You have to pay your taxes. It's come up multiple times. Just do it. I urge then, first of all, that requests, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Savior. You see, we pray for the president, the Congress, those in authority almost each and every week. It doesn't matter whether you like the man or not. We are called by God to pray for him, for conversion to happen in cases of non-Christians, but that they would follow God's will for the lives of their people. Titus 3, remind the people to be subject to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready to do whatever is good. 1 Peter 2, submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every authority instituted among men, whether to the king as the supreme authority or to governors, who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right. Now we look at different stations in life. Especially during a time of tumult, we are reminded that God does give us things to do in our daily life. If we are fathers, what are we to do? If we are husbands, wives, mothers, to husbands. 1 Peter, husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives, and treat them with respect as the weaker partner and as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. Colossians, husbands, love your wives, and do not be harsh with them. To wives, we read in Ephesians 5, wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. And in 1 Peter 3, they were submissive to their own husbands, like Sarah, who obeyed Abraham and called him her master. You are her daughters if you do what is right, and do not give way to fear. To parents, God says, fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. You see, I've got God on my side. He's the one who says it's your job to teach your children the things of God. Do it. You have some extra time, some of you now, to teach your children the catechism, to show them how to devote their lives to God. To children, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. To workers of all kinds, many of us have jobs. How are we to do those jobs? Obey your earthly masters with respect and fear, and with sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ. Obey them not only to win their favor when their eye is on you, but like slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart. Serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men, because you know that the Lord will reward everyone for whatever good he does, whether he is slave or free. We do a good job at our work, not just because we get paid for it, but because God has called us to do this, to help our neighbors, to share the good news of the gospel with them. to obey those in authority, to do the job given. To employers and supervisors, God says, "Masters, treat your slaves in the same way. Do not threaten them, since you know that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven, and there is no favoritism with him. Whether you are the employer or the employee, you have the same God. He is the king over all authorities. Trust him. Follow his word. To youth, young men, in the same way, be submissive to those who are older. All of you clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. To widows, the widow who is really in need and left all alone puts her hope in God and continues night and day to pray and to ask God for help. And lastly, to everyone, the commandments are summed up in this one rule: love your neighbor as yourself. I urge that requests, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for everyone." And there's this nice little poem at the end: "Let each his lesson learn with care, and all the household well shall fare." No matter what's going on in the world, your God has you. He cares for you. He provides for you. Trust him. You will be fine. Trust him. Look to him. Come and hear his word. Read his word every day in your home. Pray as a family. Rejoice that God has given you so many gifts around you. If you have children, now is the time to definitely show them what that love is. Spend time as a family. Devote yourselves to God. Trust that he loves you. He loves you so much that he sent his son to die in your place. Believe that. And know that at the end of this life, no matter when that is, you are his. You will be with him for eternity. When a woman cried out at Jesus, "Blessed is the womb who bore you," Jesus responded, "Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it." Continue to hear God's word. Keep it in your hearts. Be with your neighbor. Love your neighbor as yourself. You're going to be okay. And so the church sings. "So when next he comes in glory, and the world is wrapped in fear, he will shield us with his mercy, and with words of love draw near. Amen." The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.